Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave those no one far behind. We can go if we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hats to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. Say, we can dance, everything's out of control. We can dance, we can dance, we're doing it from pole to pole. We can dance. We can dance, everybody look at your hands. Well, we can dance, everybody take the chance. Ah, safe to dance, oh, it's safe to dance. Hey, it's safe to dance. We can dance if we want to. We've got all your life in mind. As long as we are good, that's never gonna lose it. Everything will work out right. I say, we can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. I say, we can dance, everything's out of control. But we can dance, we're doing it from pole to pole. But we can dance. Everybody look at your hands. Oh, we can dance, everybody makes the sound. Oh, it's safe to dance, hey, it's safe to dance. Oh, it's safe to dance, oh, it's safe to dance. Safe to dance, oh, it's safe to dance. Oh, it's safe to dance.
I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican world radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican world radio. Radio, 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 radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican world radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican world radio.
Burn out All right, there we go, The Romantics. That's a song you ain't heard in fucking eons, is it? But only here on Crazy Nation Radio, please play all the old classic music from the 80s, 90s, you know, some shit from the 90s, 60s, 70s, 50s, 40s, 10s, 1900s. You know, let's go back. We play some Beethoven. Close you could, I could find a party. Yeah, you heard that song there. Yeah, man. That's, you know, some enjoyment we still have left while still allow us to have it. You know, that's a crazy thing. Fuck, man. And boy, we had some storms right through here earlier. We got lucky. It's like the Great Divide. Like, holy Jesus, split the fucker in two, like the Red Sea, man. You know, craziness. Wow, crazy. They said fucking baseball size hail. Oh, God damn, another Lambert alert. Fuck me. All right. Okay. Secaucy, Missouri, Green 2019 Ford Festiva, Missouri plate.
Secaucy, Green 2019 Ford Fiesta, Mo plate, BF285K, white male suspect, http://bit.ly/Mueller.
Okay, as long as everybody caught that. Yeah. Child abduction. Yeah. Oh, he took the baby. He took the baby, motherfucker. More waste of money. I'm taking this baby. You'll never get it back, you crazy bitch. Blah, 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 blah. There we go. Same old story. All over again. Tried to love her, but she was just another friend. That's how it is, man. I mean, you know, the dude took the baby, bitch. Get over it. That's that abduction. But don't say it was from a fucking fucked up cocksucker or something like that. Anyway, you know, I hate to talk, I guess. Anyway, Duck Northwestern just walked into the door. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the shoe. But yeah, man, we see more shit on TV and all the other bullshit we hear. Now, fuck, one of my computers just fucking took a shit. Great, fuck. Come on, you dirty cocksucker. But anyway, you know, we see more shit on the news and we see more shit pumped to us. You know, banks collapse, Biden's fucking up. You know, the Senate ain't doing shit. The Republican Party ain't doing a goddamn thing. Hunter Biden's fucking doing dope and getting hookers and whores. Still doing it today. Gets a big diamond for China and, you know, all the dope flowing through the country to the border. Well, fucking, we have no oil, you know. Now China and Iran and all their are fucking hooking up together saying, fuck you. So what else do you need to hear? What else needs to happen? I mean, come on, man. It's going to get bad. I know it. You know it. I mean, but I'm not a naysayer or a fucking, you know, conspiracy theorist. Of course, people have quoted I am, but I am not. The simple fact is, it is what it is. You see it right in front of you. Hang on, man. Sorry about that. You see it. You see it in front of you. You look at the price in grocery stores, price of the gas pump. You're getting fucked. You've been getting fucked since a long time ago. You just didn't really catch on to getting fucked, what it meant, and how it is to get fucked. But, you know, it's just, it's one of them things, man. It's just one of them fucking things. And, you know, what are you going to do about it? Vote it out? You're going to fucking vote it out, right? Yeah. I see that happening. Right, right. Yeah. You know. It's just unbelievable the bullshit we actually listen to. You know. But anyway. And also, the other thing, you know, I did find out today. As a matter of fact, I talked to a friend of mine that's in the banking industry. That they are, a lot of banks are walking away from car dealerships. They're not financing cars no more. People can't afford them. You know, they get the loan, everything's good, and make one or two payments. They fuck you. After that, they tear the fucker up. They ain't worth a fuck no more. They don't care how the credit rating is anymore. People don't give a shit. They don't care. Why should you? If there ain't going to be no fucking money, why would it matter? You know, a credit rating, shit. You know, goddamn, we're fucking real, you know? But anyway, we're going to... We're going to whip into the clip part of this segment, this crazy fucking show, and see what the fuck's going on. You know, let's see what's what and up and up. You know, who knows? NRA boosts Mike Pence. Okay. Supreme Court votes to temporarily preserve access to common abortions. Common? Is there an uncommon abortion? So I don't know. Let's go and get to take a look at the economic side. Why is that? I'm just having a... okay, now we're getting some... I'm just going to sink my night tonight for some reason. All right, here we go. Let's flip this clip and we'll get to it all.
The cost of living in the United States has skyrocketed over the past few decades, putting a strain on the wallets of many Americans. Middle-class Americans in particular have been hard hit by stagnant wages, rising everyday expenses, as well as soaring health care and education costs. Many services that used to be a part of middle-class life are no longer affordable for our population, and many things that used to make our life easier and more enjoyable are now out of our reach. In today's video, we've compiled products and services that have gotten way too expensive over time. But before moving on, we kindly ask you to support our work with a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss our upcoming lists. Without further ado, here are 15 things that are becoming less affordable for the middle class. 1. Buying real estate in exclusive neighborhoods. Believe it or not, the suburbs once had their fair share of exclusivity. Living in the suburbs was a part of the middle class status, and it meant that families were close to good schools, parks, shopping malls, and fancy restaurants. In 2010, the average price of a home in the suburbs was only $164,131. Right now, if you want to live in the suburbs, you will have to pay at least $385,000. However, the suburban decline is a real crisis. In recent years, these areas have experienced a noticeable decay thanks to rising poverty, worsening inequality, and criminality. Today, middle-class Americans can barely afford a simple two-bedroom home, and many of them can't even afford rental prices. Real estate in exclusive neighborhoods is too out of reach of middle-income workers. The median home price in areas such as Palm Beach, Florida, or Aspen, Colorado, is over $3 million. Needless to say, the vast majority of middle-class Americans will never have the chance to live in these places. 2. Send their children to private schools and universities. Back in the day, public schools and universities were a synonym for a good education. Today, not so much. And even when the UK school system was in better shape, it was not uncommon to see some middle-class families send their children to private schools so they could attend better programs and have a higher chance to enter a prestigious university. But the soaring cost of education in America is making it virtually impossible for parents to provide that for their children. In 2022, the average cost of tuition and fees for public elementary and secondary schools was $13,187, and that's according to the National Center for Education Statistics. Meanwhile, the average cost of tuition and fees for in-state students at a public four-year college or university was $10,560, while the average cost for out-of-state students was $27,020, data from the College Board shows. In contrast, the average cost of tuition and fees for a private elementary school in the United States was $21,342. As for private universities, the average cost of tuition and fees for the academic year was $37,650 at private colleges. 3. Hire household staff. Although having full-time household staff is probably something only rich families can afford, on special occasions like parents going to the movies or families throwing house parties, middle-class Americans would occasionally hire babysitters or housekeepers. In that way, they could enjoy their family time without being overwhelmed by household chores. But over the years, these services became way too expensive for this group, and that can be mainly attributed to stagnant wages. According to data from care.com, the average cost of hiring a full-time nanny in the United States in 2022 was $16.50 per hour, and the average cost of hiring a full-time housekeeper was $18.50 per hour. At the same time, the median hourly wage of a middle-income worker is $23, In some states, that sum can go up to $28.42. But still, with rising costs for housing, energy, food, gas, and pretty much everything we consume on a daily basis, they don't have much money left after paying their bills every month so that they can spend on the little things that make their lives a little bit easier. 4. Private health care. The cost of a good health care plan has ballooned over the past 2 decades. And on the other hand, the quality of the health care service has significantly deteriorated since then. Today, even the cheapest health care insurances are extremely expensive for middle-class households, and they don't include many treatments, procedures, and other things you might need to keep your health in check. A report by eHealth shows that last year, the average annual cost of health insurance per person in the United States was $12,900. That's over 15% of the annual salary of someone who makes $80,000 a year. No wonder why Americans are suffering from more and more health problems every year. 5. Investing. Investing is essential to build wealth, saving for retirement, paying off your mortgage, and helping you to live a comfortable life. Unfortunately, many middle-class families these days don't have a chance to invest. Overburdened with everyday expenses, these households have limited disposable income, and this can make it difficult to set aside money for investing. On top of that, many investment options such as mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, ETFs, managed accounts, charge fees that can be relatively high, especially for small investors. These fees can add up over time and eat into the returns on investment. Hiring financial advisors to explain how markets work, which investment strategies would fit into your budget can also be costly, and the investment opportunities with the highest potential for big returns are usually reserved for affluent people with minimum investment requirements. In other words, the opportunities for middle-income earners to make more money are incredibly small. 6. Lawn care service. Do you remember when our parents and grandparents would give us a few dollars to do the lawn? Those times don't come back. In the 2000s, middle-class families would spend about $20 on gardening and lawn care services. In 2023, however, homeowners are paying around $150 per visit. The cost typically includes mowing, edging, and trimming, as well as debris removal and basic fertilization and weed control. Additional services such as aeration, seeding, and pest control cost some extra. Almost a century ago, having a garden was something that saved our ancestors during the Great Depression. But that has become a luxury for the vast majority of us, not only because of the price to maintain it, but also because of our lack of time to take care of it. 7. Going to the gym. Regular exercise can help improve overall physical health by reducing the risk of chronic diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. It is good for your mental health and improves your quality of life. The cost of a gym membership can vary widely depending on the type of gym and location, but nationwide prices have been trending higher over the past 5 years, the average cost of a gym membership in the U.S. jumping from $70 to $249. In major cities like New York, that sum can easily surpass $1,000. Some gyms charge additional fees for services such as personal training, group fitness classes, or a towel service. Moreover, if you live in areas where gyms are not easily accessible, that can require transportation to get to the gym. And all of these costs can pile up on top of each other and make it more expensive to go to the gym. 8. Technology and new gadgets. Purchasing the latest technology and gadgets, including smartphones, laptops, and electronic devices, is no longer something middle-class Americans can do. After the global semiconductor shortage emerged during the pandemic, the cost of electronics in the U.S. went up by an average of 28%. Some products have more than doubled in price, and others have become impossible to find in stores. According to a 2022 survey by the Consumer Technology Association, the average household spending on technology and services in America hit $1,380 last year. That's a 31% increase from 2018 levels. Not even Black Friday deals were enough to boost retail sales of electronics last year. Discounted prices remain too high for many families. That's why electronic sales actually declined by 1% in the final quarter of 2022. 9. Private security. With criminality rates rapidly rising in America, investing in surveillance gadgets can help you keep your house and your family safe. But costs can be too much for some families. For instance, prices for a security camera system start at $500. A video doorbell costs on average $229. Consequently, many middle-class families don't invest in their own safety and become vulnerable to the wrongdoings of the predators that walk on our streets. 10. Legal services. Legal fees and court costs have increased significantly in recent years, making it more difficult for the middle class to access legal services and to protect their rights. According to the Clio 2022 Legal Trends Report, the average attorney hourly rate was $313 in 2022. The average cost of a divorce in America is a staggering $12,900. If your landlord files for eviction, you will have to spend at least $3,000 on court fees. In a sense, this means middle-class families have very diminished chances of being protected by the law in case they need it. 11. Tax preparation services. Nobody teaches us how to do our taxes, and yet, if we make any mistakes along the process, we can face dire legal consequences. Meanwhile, the cost of professional tax preparation services has been consistently rising. According to a survey by the National Society of Accountants, the average cost of professional tax preparation services for an individual tax return in 2022 was $273. Filing a tax return at the end of the year allows individuals to reconcile their actual tax liability with the amount they have already paid and to claim any deductions or credits they're entitled to. But oftentimes, without professional guidance, Americans don't know their rights, making it more difficult for the middle class to save money and avoid any problems with the law. 12. Banking and financial services. The rising cost of banking fees, investment fees, and financial services has made it more difficult for the middle class to manage their finances and save for the future. There are several reasons why the cost of banking has risen for the middle class in recent years. One of them is the increase in fees that banks charge for various services. For example, many banks now charge fees for using ATMs, for overdrafts, fees for maintaining a checking account, and fees for wire transfers. Another factor contributing is the decrease in interest rates on savings accounts. Many banks now offer interest rates that are very low or even zero, which means that consumers earn very little interest on their savings. Additionally, many middle-class consumers are also facing mounting levels of debt, including credit card debt and student loan debt, which can impact their ability to maintain a positive balance in a checking account and can result in additional fees and charges. 13. Buying organic foods. Eating healthy and consuming organic foods can be extremely beneficial for our bodies. Given that these products contain higher levels of nutrients and antioxidants, which can help boost the immune system and reduce the risk of chronic diseases such as cancer and heart disease. However, organic produce tends to be more expensive than conventionally grown produce, with some studies suggesting that organic produce can cost up to 50% more. Simultaneously, over 47% of middle-class Americans say they're struggling to keep up with rising prices of conventional foods, according to Pew Research Center data. So, purchasing pesticide and chemicals-free foods is getting harder and harder for our average workers. 14. Marriage before turning 30. If you belong to a middle-class household, you might have to put your wedding plans on hold. For many middle-class bachelors, getting married at a young age is a luxury they cannot afford. Many of these people postpone their marriage to a later age until they've achieved a certain degree of financial stability. Even those who get married before 28 years old need massive financial support from their parents, and some haven't even left home yet. According to a survey by The Knot, the average cost of a wedding in the U.S. was $33,900 in 2022, up from $29,200 in 2021. This represents a 16% increase in just 12 months. In some areas, the cost of renting a wedding venue alone can exceed $10,000. Catering and other services can add thousands.
I got to stop that there for a minute. Who in their right fucking mind? And I know they do it. I know. I'm talking out of the side of my neck. I know. But who in the fuck would spend $33,000 and getting married? You know, it's the most special day of your life. It's an event. It doesn't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. I didn't spend much of my wedding. You know, I mean, we were in our fucking 30s when we got married, you know? Okay. Anyway, we'll continue on. My head's out with that. That's fucking, wow. 33,000 fucking crackheads. I can buy a new truck for 33 grand. Well, you used to be able to. I'll just finish this.
Thousands of dollars more to the total cost. Meanwhile, job opportunities for those aged 25 to 35 in America don't offer enough for them to cover their basic necessities and pay for their debt, let alone for marriage. This new generation isn't having the same opportunities that their parents and grandparents did to tie the knot early in life. That's why the family institution is gradually declining in the United States. 15. Hobbies. Sadly, when everything else in your life becomes too expensive, you start to let go of the things you do to enjoy life. Middle-class families are struggling to afford their hobbies, both in time and money. We're often stuck at work for long hours. Sometimes we don't have enough time to dedicate to the things we like. Playing sports, doing art, learning new languages, shopping, cooking, embroidering, photography. Virtually every hobby is costing more money than they did in a not-so-distant past. The middle class used to be a way of life, one that allowed people to have memorable moments and sit back and relax. Today, we work harder for increasingly less money, and we barely have any fun. Life for middle-class Americans is turning increasingly gray as we lose access to the things that enable us to live life fully and comfortably. Our burdens are getting bigger, and our quality of life is getting lower. That's what a broken society looks like. We are the ones that make this country run, and we surely deserve to be treated better.
Now, as you saw in our introductory side, the president sounded a bit frustrated that I already told you I'm going to run, just not ready to announce. And maybe he was referring to the fact that his wife over in Africa already told us what his plans are. Take a listen to this.
I really have to say it until you believe it. He says he's not done. He's not finished what he started. And that's what's important.
He's not done, Tammy. Well, of course, you dummy. You knew he was running.
Look, you can do whatever it is he's been doing, which is not being president somewhere else. So I don't know what she's referring to. He's not done ruining the country. He's not done laughing at, you know, Christian schools that get shot up and making jokes about that. I mean, I don't know what they think is happening and if the American people are aware of it, because we are. But that also, though, was a very strange, vague way of addressing it. You either say you're running or you're not. There seems to be a control. All this controls our donors. It's about if anybody else is going to start to line up. You know, what do you do about Kamala? What do you do about Gavin Newsom? What do you do about all these individuals? And it seems like whoever it is that is running the country has an interest in maintaining that, but they can only continue to do it if Biden is in front. And as the moment he says he's not running, that power evaporates and everybody else lines up. So this is a game internally, even though we know the world's on fire, the nation has major problems, but that's their focus. And that's what makes this so dangerous.
Nicole, is there a chance that, look, he's not getting younger? There's been a stumble almost weekly, if not daily, cognitive issues discussed about. But is he possibly holding out until the last minute with health considerations?
It's possible. So first, speaking of stumbling, I think I said that 21-year-old has only been able to vote for a couple of months. Clearly, I meant a couple of years. I do know the voting age in the country.
36 months.
Thank you. Thank you. In 36 months. But first of all, that CNN – oh, I love you, guy. You didn't explain. That CNN poll that I referenced said a third of Americans say that he deserves to be reelected. And they cited one of it is possibly because of his mental proneness and the fact that he still is not able to – the way that we see him physically and mentally, he does seem to be on the decline. And that's not critical of the president. That's just facts. I mean, the older you get, you start declining. And he is already greater than the life expectancy for his – and maybe he should just enjoy some retirement at this point. I personally would.
All right, guy, maybe you interview politicians every day on your radio show. What's your sense? Is he in or out?
I mean, he's had this placeholder answer now for months, right, which is I intend to run, I plan to run, sort of this holding pattern. I mean, fine. I get it. Maybe they have a certain date in mind for strategic reasons. I don't know. There are a number of things that they're doing that would suggest that he is running, and Democrats that I speak to believe very much that he's going to run for reelection. The only thing I would just say to play devil's advocate is if he weren't planning to run again, would he be doing anything else differently? Because he wouldn't want to make himself a lame duck too early. So he wouldn't want to make that announcement, no, I'm not running too early. Mm-hmm. If he wants to run for re-election, he hasn't announced that yet. So if you look at some of the vagueness, the word that you used, that might be strategic if they're looking for an exit at some point, but they don't want to tip the hand. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, odds are he's running again. But if not, You pay attention to the words that they're using and not using. And at some point, it will become too late in the game. Yeah. People will start buzzing. Okay, like, what's going on? You've been intending for a long time here.
You know what struck me about this trip? Last thing I want to ask you, Tammy, Hunter Biden was on the trip.
Yeah, he sure was.
And he's got an investigation coming.
Yeah. They're just, I think they, for obvious reasons, feel that they can do whatever they want, it's the new Teflon Don. And yet Hunter, when your admitted crackhead son has to clarify questions to you from children during that trip, and that's what transpired, you know the country has a problem because the world was watching that entire framework. But there is, he's relied on his son a great deal. He continues to do so. And while the Hunter Biden story is interesting, it's not about Hunter Biden. It's about Joe Biden.
No, but Griff, as a parent, I saw this as, well, you know, we're a little worried about him. We don't want him talking to anybody, doing anything. We're just going to keep him close to us so we can control what's going on. And that's how I saw it, is they want control. They want him close by just to make sure he doesn't get in any trouble.
And by the way, I will say Hunter is actually a pretty good handler there. So I would imagine perhaps Hunter Biden will get $1 million a month Irish handling job at some point here.
Very interesting indeed.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
Meantime, a former Obama White House official says he wants to testify to a federal grand jury because he says he has information about then Vice President Joe Biden's role in his son Hunter's business. But he says the FBI has been ignoring him.
Former Obama stenographer Mike McCormick joins us now. Mike, thanks for being here. You say you are a witness to a crime. Walk us through why you say that.
Yes. Hi, Ashley. Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So in April 2014, I was in Air Force Two with Joe Biden and Jake Sullivan. At the time, no one knew that Hunter Biden was already on the board of Burisma Holdings, the natural gas conglomerate from Ukraine. Joe Biden is directing Jake Sullivan in the front of the plane what to say to the press. My job as a stenographer on the plane is to record what the vice president or a senior administration official says to the press. So I'm sitting back there with a tape recorder. Jake Sullivan comes back, and somebody asks him about fracking. His answer is, well, we're bringing a lot of American assistance over for fracking. Burisma was the direct beneficiary of that fracking. And that's what I recorded. And that's in a White House transcript. In the transcript, you don't know who Jake Sullivan is. It's a senior administration official. I'm the witness that says Jake Sullivan is the guy who said it, and he should be investigated because at the time, Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma, and Joe Biden is bringing American taxpayer money to enrich that company and himself and his family.
Yeah, Mike, let me throw in a few dates here. Hunter joins the Burisma board April 18, 2014. You have that conversation with Jake Sullivan April 21st, 2014, outlining how the U.S. would help Ukraine's gas industry with Joe Biden's help. Hunter's role not made public till May 12, 2014. And then in December of that year, Congress approves $50 million to support Ukraine's energy sector. Ashley.
You know, Mike, my biggest question is, you said the FBI has been ignoring you. It's no secret right now that people don't have a lot of faith in the FBI. Would you tell them, and wouldn't they say back to you?
Well, that's a great question, Ashley. I came across this story back in October. I published it in my Substack. My Substack is Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. I didn't hear much about it. In February, I went to the FBI and filed one of their tips on their website. If you do that and you're lying to them, you go to jail. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth, and I'm not going to jail. Joe Biden is a criminal. He was conducting malfeasance in office to enrich his family. Jake Sullivan is a conspirator in that. And there's more Obama officials involved in it, I believe.
So you are willing to go under oath to state that you are certain that this was a kickback scheme that Joe Biden was orchestrating, correct?
Correct. There's a grand jury right now in Wilmington, Delaware. They've been seated for 3 years with a special prosecutor named David Weiss. If David Weiss can't have me in front of his grand jury explaining what I know as a witness, that's a fraudulent grand jury. It's a fraudulent use of the American judicial system to cover for Barack Obama and Joe Biden's crimes in office.
You know, with everything you've said, do you think by you testifying, this would change this narrative? And I mean, frankly, a lot of us have already, we have thought this for a long time. We've always said it's not necessarily Hunter Biden, it's Joe Biden's ties to his business dealings. So do you think by you testifying that it would change the story?
So if I testify in front of a grand jury, the two things can happen, because I have a little bit of experience in grand juries. I used to be a stenographer listening to grand juries. I used to do transcription for the Lewinsky grand juries. I go back that far with stenographers. Two things can happen. One, what I say is evidence. So my testimony would be evidence, but I can also point them to other witnesses they can call into, because a grand jury is an investigative tool. And if I went in there, I would tell them to have Barack Obama called in as a witness because he's part of the conspiracy. He's an ex-president. He has to answer who was in charge of this, putting Joe Biden into this role. Did Barack Obama know about it? Because there's evidence I've seen and put in my Substack on April 16th, so 2 days before Hunter joins. Joe Biden is with Hunter in the West Wing. They have a meeting. And then later that day in the evening, Joe Biden spends a day in the limousine, in the back of Barack Obama's limousine in Western Pennsylvania.
Mike, we reached out to the White House for a statement, but did not hear back. Something tells me we have not heard the end of your story. Keep us posted. Mike McCormick, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
And I'm Ainsley Earhart. And click here to subscribe to the Fox News YouTube page.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. But yeah. Didn't I say that? I said that many, many fucking times. You know, like I said with the 30,000, I didn't know it was 50, but hey, 30 works, 50 works better. Fucking right. Hey, if you can pull off a scam and never get in trouble, why would you not do it? This was the perfect fucking setup, and it's all coming out now, ain't it? You know, people have realized that shit will come back and bite you in the ass, man. So I don't know, but let's see what happens. Let's see if they do anything about it, though. They can say all the fuck they want, but let's see what they do about it. Anyway, gonna bring you in with me, brother. Yeah, fuck, man. Wow. Crazy fucking shit we live in. You know, once you get started in these goddamn clips and shit, you get lost in them a little bit, you know? But it just keeps piling up, though. You know, this shit just keeps piling on and on and on. It never fucking has an end in sight. God, man.
Well, you know, the mention, what's that dumb fuck, Gavin Newsom, that nutsack.
Yeah, that fucking, person, yeah.
That his mama should have fucking swallowed, okay?
Yeah,
you know what that, you know what that dumb fuck's doing now? He's out there, he's supposed to be flying around the South states down here, trying to convince people to move to California. I read that earlier.
To as many people are fucking leaving California, yeah, he's better than people come back.
I know.
He gets to see the real numbers.
Yeah, and he's trying to convince people to move to California by touring the states, the southern states down here.
Well,
I wrote back on a comment that was in Facebook. I said, yeah, boy, we carry guns down here, too.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, that motherfucker has ran more people. I can't remember what the number it was at one time. I see they're saying like 10,000 or something like that fucking people a day were leaving California. U-Haul.
Yeah, it was.
Had no vans, trucks, or fucking trailers in fucking California. They had to ship trailers and trucks back to California. Ain't that something? What does that fucking tell you, man? When you're talking, U-Haul and Jerison Truck Rentals has no fucking trucks. Something's wrong. Yep. You know? Go ahead, man.
But it just goes to show you how stupid these people are. They're being run out because of his fucked up policies.
Yeah.
Okay. Newsom, whatever. You know.
Right.
They're being run out because of his fucked up policy. And this cocksucker goes around the country trying to get people to move into California when it's his very own fault that people are moving out.
Wouldn't you want to look at the reason? Wouldn't you look at more like a marketing strategy? You know, see what's wrong with your market product. You know what I mean? What's wrong with why is my market product? Why are these people leaving? You know, why aren't they coming to my store type thing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, you're taxing the living motherfucker out of them to death.
Yeah,
you know,
10,000
motherfucking ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you expect people? They can't afford to live there.
Nope.
You already got an economy that's in fucking trouble. Then you could try to jack up the fucking price of their fucking thing around them. What do you expect to happen? You know, motherfuckers used to live in a house, live on a street now. But they're at a point. The problem with people are they're scared to leave home. They are scared to leave home. They are. Bless them. You know, I'm far of that. But the other thing comes into play, where do I go? You know what I mean? Where do I go? They don't take a risk and run and go find out if they can do something better somewhere else. You know, it's just that people don't, and we have the dumbest motherfuckers running everything now. I don't give a fuck what it is. They are the dumbest motherfuckers. The only smart thing they're smarter is fucking you out of a dollar. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
There is no smart fucking people running. If this shit was ran right, in the right way, we would not be in this position we're in today. Just like what Trump did. He had it running perfectly fine, you know. And there's shit going on, you didn't hear nothing about it. Right.
Yeah.
But now Biden's talking about running for it again. It ain't him, it's his handlers. This guy isn't even competent enough to run, but they're getting all the crimes this guy, you heard what the motherfucking man said, you know. And then you got the simple fact of him admitting it. You could throw that in the grand jury and say, well, he said on fucking live camera that if they don't fire that fucking prosecutor, Burisma alone. And then you got the fact now that, you know, Barack Obama and him is financing this fucking, you know, power company. Fuck. How much more do you need? You know what I mean?
Proof.
Yeah. Wow. How much more do you fucking need? Any one of us sorry motherfuckers got that shit, we'd be fucking done, been through trial and sent to prison already. Not waiting.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, fucking.
They put us so far under prison.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 9 fucking years later. You know, wow.
Like you said, if we did something like that, they'd put us so far under the prison, they'd have to pump sunlight into us in a 3-H tube.
Yeah, that's but how you far know what? Right now, we've probably already been paroled out by now.
Yeah.
Charge conviction, sent to prison, doesn't fucking get paroled right now. Before this shit even fucking, even kiss the fucking, the gavel of justice, you know? Wow.
Yep.
What the fuck, man? You know? It's amazing, isn't it? It's just simply amazing.
I've never seen nothing like it. I mean, it's just it blows your mind. It really does.
It's insane. You know? It's fucking. It's a good. Yeah.
Fuck, I took a nap. I'm not tired. But yeah, I just, you know, fucking man, really?
How could this be? But you know, I. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, yeah, you said a while ago that, you know, the only reason that they won't dumb fuck to run is because he's like a little kid. You could tell a little kid what to do, and if he does a little bit too much, you can spank his hand.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only reason that old fucking fart do it again. Okay?
Well, yeah, because you ain't seeing what's going on in the background. You don't see that.
No, you don't see what's
going on. You don't
see that
shit. No,
you don't see that.
No. Fuck. Well, it's like, and it replaced, what, have you heard from Fetterman lately? Nobody has.
Not a fucking word.
Nothing.
Not even a feather. Not even a feather.
Then you had, you know, Beetlejuice just got kicked out of Chicago. She lost that election to a guy worse than her.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, this just, this cannot be, the American people are that fucking stupid.
Well, some of them are. I'm afraid a lot of
this many
of
them.
Are.
I guess.
Well,
they
I mean, you'd be surprised.
Haven't
you ever heard the old saying that you can fool people by the millions? Okay. In this case,
so,
tens
man.
Of millions.
Oh
apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm cool
I mean,
with the million
so,
part, but tens of millions ain't too cool. You know.
I know it ain't too cool. It sucks. I mean, when you can fucking
let me try to explain where I look at it, man. Okay.
Fool people like that.
Right, but here, let me try to pass this out here. I can't afford nothing anymore. I can't afford the luxuries I used to like, the hobbies, like the guy said. You know, can't go to the gym. I can't afford it. Can't afford a babysitter. Can't afford a housekeeper. Can't afford all these luxuries, which, one, I've never had. You know what I mean? I might have an assistant. I have an assistant because that's how busy of a guy I am. So I have to have somebody else to help me do what I do. You know what I mean? It takes more than one to make a functioning operation work. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I have to have somebody to help me. And, of course, me being crippled up too ain't fucking helping out matters either. But I don't
come on, Ron.
You are
the assistant. You are the assistant. See?
Well, more or less. Well, I mean, I do all the major component work of everything I do. You know, just some things I just stopped doing, like towing. I mean, I'll transport, but I won't tow no more. You know what I mean? Transporting is easy. Yeah, but when he comes out and pulls something out of the fucking side of a cliff or a ditch or, you know, stupid shit, you know, I just don't want to do it no more. And this is a, you know, my back, it was own businesses to, you know, when you're in the music business, you know what I mean? You always got to remember, you got to have a backup plan, you know, because if not, you will be fucking homeless too, you know? I mean, I know some pretty famous fucking songwriters and musicians that fucking work regular jobs, you know? They have to. So, you know, the music business ain't what it used to be, man.
Well, if you live in a fucking place like California where everything costs 10,000 times more than it should, okay, well, yeah, well, no wonder. I'm surprised they ain't working four fucking jobs. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of entertainers that don't even live in California, bro. They don't even live there. They fly in. It's cheaper to fly in than live there. You know, I would never live in Arizona. You know, than fucking live in California. I'll fly into work, busky people, you know. But if you're, you know, but if you're a low life, you know, or not low life, I mean that term means you're a low income worker, you can't afford to live there. So, you know, that kind of puts everything else in a bind. If you can't get this cheap fucking labor, you ain't got a business. You're going to go out. You're going to fail, okay, because you don't have that cheap labor, you know. When you got an employee comes in, well, I got to have at least $60 an hour, man. I can't fuck with you. You know what I mean? How do you pay? How can you afford that? You know, because then your prices are high as a motherfucker. You got to be super high. But then you get people ain't coming to spend that kind of money on the fucking high projected prices you're fucking doing. People ain't going to show up for that. You know what I mean? You know, like around here, we have dollar stores or dollar trees. Or, well, they're $1.25 now, but and they're adding more products than a $3 to $5 product type shit, you know? Now, does California have a fucking Dollar Tree in it? Fuck no. Where the fuck would you put it? How can you afford it? You know what I mean? A Dollar Tree. You know what I'm saying? Think about Los Angeles or shit like that. You might have a $5 tree. You're a $10 tree, you know? I mean, that's just psychotic. That's just simply, Gavin Newsom could go chase all the fuck he wants. He ain't going to get nobody. Nobody wants to go to California. Everybody knows. They act like nobody knows nothing. You know what I mean? They act like the American, oh, people don't know shit, so I'm going to do this. And they do stupid shit right in front of you. And you know they're stupid shit. You know what I mean? It's hilarious. I mean, why would Joe Biden, I guess he didn't know that camera was live. I don't know. But why in the fuck would you tell this motherfucker, if they don't fire that fucking prosecutor, I'm taking the money with me. You know, once I leave, I'm gone. Within 6 hours. And then, goddamn, they fired him. You know? Matter of fact, you know, I think I'm going to do, I'll try to find that clip just to hear that. Just to fucking remind me how retarded the world is. You know what? Unfucking believable. But, yeah, wow. Let's see. What would I say? Biden? Can you spell more? Okay, so I'll find this. Guys, there's so many videos on this motherfucker. Bullshit. I'm getting where I can't operate a computer no more, Yon. Ah, there it is. No, that's the wrong one. Wait a minute.
Margaret Warner, I see you with the microphone.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Vice
hey,
President.
Hey, Margaret. Good to see you.
My question is, should we actually be going on offense in the information war, in the cyber war, in terms of delegitimizing, not just exposing the corruption, but really playing offense the way they're playing offense?
The answer is yes, but not necessarily in the cyberspace where we go in and most of what happens in the cyberspace is altering information or preventing information from being able to come forward. I think we should be on the offensive in making it clear exactly what we know Russia and or Putin in particular is doing. And I think we should be working much more closely with our European and allies around the world and exposing and getting them to stand up and acknowledge with us that this is what's happening here. That message gets through. I mean, to go back, when I got here, the last vestige of that Cold War was Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty, all it was an attempt to broadcast the truth into Russia. And I think somehow we have to have as the democracy
that,
of the world.
That's the meeting, but that ain't what he was saying. Give me just a second. Ah, damn it. I wonder if they pulled this video. Okay, I found it. Okay, here this motherfucker is. Here we go.
I remember going over convincing our team, our others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kiev, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. And said, I said, I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time. Well, there's still,
So there you go. that's admitting this, you know. And then you got this guy, this stenographer just came out here recently talking shit too. So, well, hey, man, you know, what does that tell you? I mean, but it was so obvious. I mean, how much more do they got to have this printed out in their fucking face that this is what these motherfuckers done and what they're doing? It's like they don't pay attention to this, man. I mean, somebody's got to get a piece of the action. Or, you know, I mean, too many people are getting a piece of action out of this. I don't get it. You know, this shit should be all over the fucking planet. You know, the only network covering this is Fox, and that's kind of strange too. Why is only Fox the only network that's covering all this shit? You know? They're playing up like Fox Network's fucking crazy, too. So who knows, man? Who fucking knows? I mean, it just gets wilder by the fucking minute. Let me try this real quick. Let's see. Let's see what the fuck this is all about.
How much longer can U.S. President Joe Biden go on? Because he's now, without doubt, in serious mental decline. This is from a speech to union bosses just last week.
And Don Finn, IBEW, and Robert Reiter, Reiter. You know, if I can digress for just a second, last night I was on television. I was on the telephone, and you know. At any rate, also we've got state leadership here. Lieutenant Governor Julius here, Stratton, and the Illinois President Don Harmon, State Senator Laura Murphy, State Rep Martin Moylan, and we got great labor leaders here too.
And I've shown you plenty of early examples in other shows that suggest to me that Biden's going to struggle to serve out the rest of his 3.5-year term. But what makes this leadership crisis in the U.S. worse is that the vice president, Kamala Harris, is not just desperately inexperienced, never been governor of a state, for instance, which is unfit to ever replace Biden as president, so it seems to me. And it's not just that when she's faced with a problem, she laughs nervously and steps back, not leans forward into it. For instance, Joe Biden tasked Harris to stop the huge inflow of illegal immigrants coming over the Mexican border. And Harris back then talked big about what she'd do.
I look forward to engaging in diplomacy with government.
But since then, Harris has visited the Mexican president just once to discuss this, and eventually, when she was shamed into it, visited the border too, but just once. And again, that nervous laugh whenever she's asked that she'll go again.
Thanks to visit the border. Not today. But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
And here's a sign of how far Harris will run from a problem. Last Friday, Biden had top officials go to Mexico City to discuss this border crisis with Mexico. It's a top team, the Secretary of State, the Homeland Security Secretary, and the Attorney General. But no Kamala Harris, the border czar. She was instead out playing with children back home to soften her image.
Come after seven, come.
Joining me a short while ago was Sky News US correspondent Annalise Nielsen.
Yeah, look, Andrew, I mean, this is a discussion that it does fall down party lines in the US. So it's really Republicans who say, look, we're really concerned about his mental state, and they repeat many of his gaffes. He was known for that before he went into office. But it does seem like there has been continuing issues with that. The Democrats say, look, he has a stutter. We know that. And they say, look, we prefer him to Donald Trump, and so we'd rather this kind of approach than what we had before. But from just an outsider's view looking in, having watched his first year in office almost, what we're seeing is that there are these repeated issues. I mean, when you've got the president forgetting our prime minister's name at the time of making such a significant announcement, calling him that fella down under, it's hard to think that he really could be that keyed into what exactly he was talking about. At the same time, the Australians who were in that meeting were telling us, no, he's so switched on, he's so sharp, he absolutely knew exactly everything going on, just all across it. But of course, they have to say that. They can't come out and say, look, he doesn't know what he's talking about. We've done this deal with everyone else in the administration. And this is where we're seeing a lot of this really progressive stuff come out, because it looks like it is other people in his administration. So I have to say, for someone watching this day in, day out, it's not something to discount. There is a very real possibility that this could decline quickly. We do know he's quite advanced in age, and that doesn't mean that it precludes you from doing the job, but there's definitely at least a bit of cause for concern among the general populace.
It's interesting. I actually wonder whether he can complete his term. To me, the mental decline, I mean, you're quite right, at times it's quite lucid, but other times it clearly is something's not right. I wonder whether he would have to step down. If he did, Kamala Harris, the vice president, would have to take his place. But what I find really curious is that she does not seem to be trusted by this administration to do anything substantial, or maybe she's not willing to take responsibility. For instance, she was told that she was the administration's point person for the border crisis. She's only been down to the border once to try to stem all these this problem of mass immigration. And she wasn't there in Mexico City last Friday when top administration officials were meeting with the Mexican government to try to deal with this very crisis. What do you make of what's going on with Kamala Harris?
Well, it is interesting. We haven't seen her have as much of a public profile in the last few months that we saw at the very beginning of the administration. There's still those photo opportunities put out by her team of her meeting with the president in those meetings. They have their lunch every Friday, but what we aren't seeing is her speaking out on those really critical issues. Now, her office was even briefing around the time that she was appointed border czar that she wasn't actually appointed border czar at all. Her office was saying, no, she's in charge of dealing with the migrants once they get to America and looking at that end of things. It wasn't her job to stem the flow of migrants. That seemed to be quite counter to what the administration was saying. And so it seems like they're trying to pick the more attractive parts of that problem to talk to her base. What we are seeing, too, is that she doesn't want anything to do with the Afghanistan withdrawal, because there's going to be questions, as there would be for any presidential candidate, how would they act as commander-in-chief? And so she doesn't want to wear the decisions made by Joe Biden, especially, as we can see, they're not polling very well. So for her, it's kind of a lose-lose prospect. If you get your hands too dirty at this point, what are you going to gain? And if she is going to be running in the primaries, because there's no guarantee if Joe Biden does serve out his term as he intends to, that she would get any kind of advantage in that race. So this is why they're putting their head down, and they've also been trying to stem a lot of leaks from her office. There's been a lot of bad news stories in the US press where they've reported what they've said has come from her office, so they don't want to be attached to that either.
Gee, there seems to be a real leadership crisis in Washington at the moment. We shall see how that plays out.
Well, Airman First Class Jack Teixeira is now detained after being arraigned earlier this morning. He is due back in court Wednesday after not entering a plea on multiple federal charges. Those include unauthorized retention and transmission of national defense information and the willful retention of classified documents. Teixeira was a junior member of the Air Force's 102nd Intelligence Wing, and his role as a systems communications official granted him access
to a higher-level security clearance. And new details from his court affidavit reveal that billing records were key to identifying him as the leaker. And the airman even searched government computers to see if he was close to being found. Wow. Now, furious Republicans are calling for accountability.
How did a Massachusetts National Guardsman get access to this kind of classified and sensitive information?
What general is going to lose their job?
There's only one way to look at this, and there ought to be bipartisan condemnation for what this young man did.
The idea that a 21-year-old kid can expose sources and methods of how we spy, I mean, the incompetence is stunning.
This is a massive catastrophic occurrence that should never have happened.
And one thing that struck me from the Pentagon briefing yesterday was the number of times Brigadier General Pat Ryder said over and over again, there are procedures, there are rules, there are processes in place. Let's take a listen.
It is important to understand that we do have stringent guidelines in place for safeguarding classified and sensitive information. But again, let me just emphasize my point that this was a we have rules in place. Each of us signs a non-disclosure agreement. Anybody that has a security clearance. Look, again, we have procedures, we have protocols in place. But again, to belabor the point, we have safeguards in place. We have processes, we have procedures.
You know, Pete, I had a security clearance. I worked in the federal government. Yes, there are procedures and processes, but they clearly failed. And perhaps this goes back to 9/11 when there was the failure to share intelligence and it was opened too widely. But something needs to change because those processes aren't working when a 21-year-old gamer leaks national security information.
Yeah, there are processes, there are procedures, and there are also human beings. And this guy made, this 21-year-old made a terrible decision to look cool to his buddies on the internet.
John, I didn't do that on purpose.
But I don't want to
I'm sorry, man. I don't know how I did that, but why the fuck not? I didn't mean to mute you, brother. I don't know how it happened. I wasn't touching that computer. I was on a different computer. Oh my God. Why not? Why not? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen to fucking me. You know what I mean? I feel like that censor attack, that censoritis coming on to me. Yeah, it could be, you know. I tell you. I just seen an exodus of Houston. What's up with that with Houston, Texas? Let's check it out.
Why are Houstonians fleeing Houston like somebody just outlawed the word y'all within the city limits? Texans can put up with a lot, but getting rid of y'all might push some of them over the edge. But why are people leaving? Good question. Houston has almost always gained in population, like every single year. 2021 and 2022 is one of the only times in their history they've seen back-to-back drops in population. Minus 0.7% in 2021 and minus 1.1% in 2022. That doesn't sound like a big number, but it is. Kind of showing a trend. In the last two census, the city has gained less than 10%, which has only happened three times since 1850. With most decades seeing growth around 30% and up. And when you get down and look at the numbers, you can see that people are still moving in from other states at about the normal rate. It's just the longtime residents are leaving Houston faster than ever before. Most of the Houstonians leaving the city moved to other Texas metro areas, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, and Beaumont. After that, they're moving out of state to Denver, Atlanta, and Los Angeles. So why is this happening? Why are more and more Houstonians packing up and moving on? And that's what we're looking at today, the reasons people leaving Houston gave in a survey as to why they wanted a new place to call home. Got it. Get it. Good. Let's take a look. Number 10, the weather. Yeah, a lot of people don't like the weather in Houston, and I've been there quite a few times, and I got to agree with them. The weather sucks in Houston, especially in the summer. Houston is known for its hot, humid weather, which can be uncomfortable and even dangerous during the summer months. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the average temperature in Houston in July is 94.5 degrees Fahrenheit, with a whole bunch of humidity. If you've never been to Houston and you're just imagining Houston is like West Texas, it's not. West Texas is like a desert. Houston is like a swamp. you're one of those people like myself that likes a little cool weather, you're not going to get much of it in Houston. The winter does get kind of nice and a little bit cold now and then, but the summers are brutal along with the mosquitoes that go with them. It's just kind of harsh. And on top of that, you got the extreme weather events, hurricanes, flooding. Houston's had their fair share of them. They've also seen a few tornadoes and some serious thunderstorms. The flooding seems to happen every year. Then, I don't know, every 10 years or so, a major hurricane blows through that place and just upsets the whole city. But there is one amazing thing about Houstonians when that happens. I've never been there for one, but the news is just filled with people helping each other out. They get through it together. So you got to like that. But yeah, a lot of people, they just can't take the weather and they bail on Houston. Number nine, the traffic. The traffic in Houston is getting worse every single year. Maybe the fact that they're losing some people might change that, but they've been growing at such a good pace for so long that the infrastructure's really not been able to keep up. It's almost like the city planners are watching how the city's growing and think, you know what, we need a new four-lane interstate right here, and we'll, you know, have it do this and this and this. And then when they finish it 8 years later, they're all, you know, we should have made that eight lanes each direction. I've been stuck in Houston traffic about three or four times. It's not as bad as Los Angeles or, let's say, the Bay Area, San Francisco, but it's pretty close. Number eight, social issues. Now, some things kept popping up, and I thought each one was important, but they weren't important enough to have their own spot on this list. So I kind of clumped them all together. Social issues. A lot of people complain that they feel socially isolated. Despite its size, Houston can be a difficult place to meet new people and build a social network. Some residents feel isolated and disconnected from the community. There's many complaints on how it's really hard to date in Houston, and there's a few reasons for that. One of them is there's more women than men. Now, if you're a person looking for a woman to bump uglies with, this is a good thing. You have more choices than you might other places, like in Alaska, where it's like one woman to every five guys or something like that. Houston's not that bad, but it's enough to where it's noticeable. I've seen different stats for it, but it's usually something like you take 100 people in Houston, there's 55 women for every 45 men. Some of the problems with this is if you're a woman and you're looking for a man, your options are limited. Years ago, I did a video and brought this up, and I remember reading this article, and this one woman in there said, don't move to Houston if you're married, because some woman will try and steal your man. Put in parentheses, men are in short supply in Houston. So that could be a problem. You also have diversity. Houston is a very diverse city, but some residents may not appreciate the cultural differences or feel uncomfortable in multicultural environments. Now, whenever you bring up diversity on any kind of video and you're talking about social things, and you'll have a bunch of comments in the comment section about diversity is not a good thing. Just enjoy those and get a good chuckle out of it. They always try and include fake stats. Number seven, pollution. Houston has high levels of air pollution due to its large size and petrochemical facilities that basically surround the entire city. According to the American Lung Association, Houston ranks as the 12th most polluted city in the United States for year-round particle pollution. Basically, air quality sucks here. On top of that, when you have bad air quality, that usually leads into you got bad water quality. Now, their water is not dangerous, but I've read a bunch of things where it tastes bad. You're moving from out of the area, you'll move to Houston, you'll taste the water, and you'll be buying bottled water from that point on. Side note, Los Angeles has the same problem. I never knew how nice water out of a tap tasted until I left Los Angeles. But believe it or not, the air pollution and water quality really bothers a lot of people. Bad enough when it's hot, humid, and then you just suck it in some exhaust. Number six, the crime. Houston's got some crime. Actually, it is the worst when it comes to crime of all the Texas metro areas. They've got both property crime and violent crime. They say their property crime is 85% higher than the national average, which sucks. But where they're really putting the extra effort in is the violent crime rate. That's about 224% above the national average. That's the 2022 numbers. In 2020, they were only 211% above the national average. So if you're worried about crime, yeah, you could look at those numbers and probably want to leave Houston. Every time I've been to Houston, as I've driven around, I thought, wow, I bet there's a lot of crime going on around here. Why doesn't that car have any tires? I actually saw a guy stealing a chain link fence. It's not like he worked for some company. This was strictly off the books, and he was taking that chain link fence home, I believe, because most workers don't use a shopping cart to transport parts of a fence. Number five, limited public transportation. Yeah, Houston's public transportation system sort of sucks. It's definitely not as extensive or reliable as some of the other cities of the United States. Houston's not even in the top 25. And on top of that, it's ranked really low when it comes to walkability. Houston is a sprawling city that's not really pedestrian friendly, which can make it challenging to get around without a car. So the public transportation sucks, and it's too big to walk around. Who's in charge of this city? Number four, limited job opportunities. Houston has jobs. It's not like they're really hurting for jobs. They just don't have a wide variety of jobs. They have a strong economy, and it's home to many major companies in industries such as oil and gas, healthcare, and technology. Outside those industries, it can be a little dicey and a little limited. So if you work in IT, great, you can probably get a job. Healthcare? Probably. Oil and gas? Sure. R-rated magician at a retirement home? Maybe not. Now, whenever I talk about this subject right here, there's a few cities in the United States that are like this. Actually, there's a few states that are like this. They're heavy in a couple different industries, but not a bunch of different industries. Like California, you could find anything. Just about any industry is well represented in California. It's also in Dallas. Dallas is pretty good. Atlanta has a strong market in different industries. But Houston's just a city that has a lot of jobs in just a few different industries. That's why a lot of people listed career change as the reason they left Houston. Probably changed careers and didn't find a new one there. Number three, high cost of living. This is something people put down a lot. It's at the number three spot. The statistical reality is Houston's not that bad when you compare it to other major cities in the United States. But I have a theory on this one that I have no proof of. I'm just assuming. Houston is down there in South Texas near Louisiana. So it's Southeast Texas. Louisiana's dirt cheap. And after Louisiana, you have Mississippi, which is, I don't know, what's lower than dirt cheap. And a lot of the people that do end up in Houston, let's say for a handful of years for work or whatever, come from Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Matter of fact, after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, a lot of people from the New Orleans area and really all of Louisiana moved to Houston. But it's not just after a hurricane that people start heading to Houston. Houston has been in the top 10 list for people relocating from Louisiana since 1996. I'm sure before then, but that's how far back the list goes. Houston's the biggest metro area outside Louisiana, so it only makes sense. No brainer. But yeah, that's my theory. People that are coming from Louisiana and parts of the Deep South, they get to Houston and they get a little sticker shock. Number two, it's poorly planned. Most cities have a rhythm to them. They're planned out properly. You know what to expect. You're in a residential area, you expect homes, maybe a condo, maybe an apartment building. You go to an area where there's a bunch of apartment buildings, you'll find a bunch of apartment buildings, maybe a house or two. Drive down a main strip and you have a mini mall, maybe an office building. Houston's got their own agenda. This right here is a perfect example. You have these nice duplexes or whatever they are, like condos, and directly across the street, they just built like a 25-story office building. That's a residential street. Back in 2018, I did a video about Houston, and I found out this is one of the biggest complaints people from Houston and people moving to Houston, pretty much everybody, complained about. But back to that giant building, that residential neighborhood, even if half of it or all of its apartments and not just an office building, it's too big for that neighborhood. Another complaint people have about Houston is lack of green spaces. They don't have a lot of parks, and they don't have any, you know, like wooded areas with hiking trails. They just don't go into that. If they did, and knowing how they planned out their city, you might be on a 5-mile hike into the woods and find a Starbucks all by itself. Round the bend, and you might find the last pager dealership in the country. I miss pagers. It was so much harder to get a hold of me back then. I've been paging you for like 3 days. I didn't get the page. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, but that's one of the biggest complaints people have is the city's confusing. All right, before we get to number one, if you're looking to move to Houston or any place in the United States, there's a link for a website called Home and Money. They have all kinds of tools for people looking to buy a new home, get you in touch with a real estate agent, all that good stuff. All right, on to number one. And number one, political polarization. Politics has become very toxic here in the United States in the last handful of years. It's a real problem in Texas. This was the number one complaint people had about Houston in that survey. people don't worry about crime as much as they worry about having to listen to someone and their political views. I think part of what plays into people responding like this is the friction that they have between Texans and Californians moving to Texas. Houston doesn't get nearly as many Californians as Dallas, Fort Worth, and San Antonio does, but they get enough. All right, that's today's video. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you got some
information. That was really
go out. Have a great day.
Nice and nice. Fluffy and about Houston, Texas. I don't know what your opinion is, Gunslinger, on Houston, Texas, but I'm sure you've been there many times. Ain't that where Kat lives, outside of Houston? No, she lives in Galveston, doesn't she? Where the fuck does she live? I don't remember. I feel a little retarded. I don't know. Okay, here the dog's barking, Gun.
Oh, I thought I was muted. Ouch.
No, no.
Oh,
you said well, yo, I'm muted. You're muted me. I didn't know I did. I didn't try to. I didn't know I did. I don't know how I did. I don't know what the fuck. Well, I'm looking at two different monitors. You know, switching back to monitors and grabbed the wrong mouse, and you know, probably fucking. Luckily, the mouse was there by that key, and you know, why not, huh? Why not? Yeah, but why the fuck not, man? Yeah, I don't know what we're heading for in this fucked up world we live in. I just know we got some pretty dumb fucking people around. They're just
amazing.
They're
getting dumber.
They are, yeah. I mean, by the fucking minute, man. It's just amazing. There's no end in sight either. You know what I mean? There's nothing positive ever said. You never hear nothing positive said. But you're free. Yep. But you're fucking free.
Oh, yeah, but we're free. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Free.
Don't forget that. You're fucking free, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're fucking free. Oh.
According
to the gerbil.
Yeah. I think he's been on here a couple times, man.
Well, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. Well, wife's back. But yeah, man. I don't know. I can't see Biden running for another one. I can't see it. I don't see how the fuck he could pull that off. But like I said, he didn't pull off in the first time in the first place anyway. That's all that shit was done by somebody else. Somebody else had their hands on it. There's no way possible that guy could have won that race. I mean, he didn't go out and promote it. He was in his motherfucking basement. You know what I mean? And then have the audacity to say he got more fucking votes than any president of the United States ever?
No, I ain't buying that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I just have a very hard time.
I can't buy that one.
Right, you know. And all this shit's going south. Everything's going bad. You know, nothing's right. Why the fuck would you want, if you believe in your country and your people, you would never do this bullshit. You know what I mean? You wouldn't do this against your people. We're being fucking
If you was truly an American, you would be doing this bullshit. Who is truly American?
Right.
Trump.
Uh-huh.
I mean, love him, hate him, I don't give a fuck. Okay. But the man did what he said he was going to do. He ain't God, obviously. But he did 99%. That's closer than any other senators ever did combined.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what has Joe Biden done good for us? What has he done anything substantial to do anything for the American people? Nothing.
Yeah, he has. He's fucked it up.
Well, that ain't good for us. Yeah,
no, it's not good for us. No.
but that's, he's fucked everybody though. And that's the thing. This is a major fucking. You know, the question you should ask people when you walk up down the street, how does it feel to be fucked? You know, somebody said, well, I like it. But I mean, well, okay, well, I mean, yeah, fucking's cool and all that. I like to fuck myself, but I'm talking about being fucked by the goddamn government, you know, because that's what's happening. You're being fucked. I mean, gas prices are doubled, but they were 2 years ago, you know? So, you know, diesel just went up again yesterday. Friday, yesterday. It's up to $4 a gallon here again. We've down like $3.49 for a second, $3.69, and it stuck around here, and $3.79 stuck there for a while, and now it jumped up to $4 all of a sudden. Bam, here we are. You know, we'll charge you some more. You know, we're not making enough profit, so we got to jack up the fucking price. Joe Biden said we could.
They make a killing on every fucking thing. It's just not one thing. It's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Everything. It's a domino effect, Gunslinger. It's a goddamn domino effect. You hit one thing, which the main artery is the goddamn fuel, the transport, shipping of the product. And in order to make up for that, you got to jack up the price. You know?
Yeah, of course.
And then then because of that, you got to jack up the price. Then because of that, you got to jack up the price. And so on and so on and so on. It never ends. It never fucking ends, man. So, you know, the best way to do it, fuck the American people. Like that Burisma thing I was talking about earlier. I played that clip. That's exactly what the fuck happened. That was a fucking con job. And like I said, now I found out it was $50 billion they shipped over. And this was only, they're talking about $1 billion back when Obama was in office. But now they're talking $50 billion now. You don't think that motherfucker ain't getting a kickback out of that? Fuck. You'd
Hell
be
yeah.
stupid not
Hell
to see
yeah.
it, you know? What reason do we have to protect these motherfuckers anyway? None. Nothing. You know, so, you know, they're not even part of the United Nations. They're not even part of that. So why do we have our fucking nose stuck in their fucking problem? You know? I mean, we might not rush to take over, but who gives a flying fuck? That country ain't that goddamn big. You know, my opinion. So, you know, it's all the part of a scam. That's all the fuck it can be. I still see the benefit we're getting out of this. The only benefit we're getting is costing us money. You know?
It's costing everything. You know, everything under Trump was leveling off. It was looking good.
It was manageable.
Everything was pretty hunky dory. We was actually exporting things, United States. I mean, we was respected again. Now we're fucking laughed at. The clown. You know why? Because the clown in the White House. There's your reason.
Yeah.
He's nothing but a fucking pussy is all he is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kissing everybody's ass and all this shit. You know, kissing Putin's ass and old Rocket Boy and, you know, and all this shit and everybody else that's wants an ass kissing. You know, Mr. Ass Kisser will do it. You
mm-hmm.
see Trump doing that? No, mm-hmm. He stood up to him. And then they backed down because they respect authority. That
right.
sucker don't have no authority in his ass. Not a goddamn hair. You know, his babysitter, Jill, is one that's leading him around
by Hunter. And also Hunter, don't forget him.
Oh, Hunter, too, yeah. Oh, sweet Hunter. Oh, yeah. That's his crack ass, you know, of course.
Oh, wow. What this just say? Came out about an hour ago, Fox 32 Chicago. Hundreds of teenagers flood into the downtown Chicago, smashing cars and shit. Oh, boy. What's going on in Chicago now? Let's check this out again. Let's see what this is all about.
What's not going on in Chicago?
Yeah, it's true, too. Yeah, the new mayor ain't no better.
Into downtown Chicago tonight. Smashing car windows, trying to get into Millennium Park, prompting a major police response. Within the past few minutes, shots were fired near the corner of Madison and Michigan. Now, we had a news crew on the scene, but they had to move because of safety concerns. I was there a little bit earlier, about an hour and a half ago, and saw police escorting tourists and visitors to their cars in the Millennium Park parking garage. The crowd was trying to get into Millennium Park, but there are checkpoints that are not allowing anyone under the age of 21 who's not with an adult to get in. So they're massing across the street on the other side of Michigan Avenue. I spoke to a woman whose car was smashed by people jumping on the windshield. She says the crowd began beating her husband as he sat in the driver's seat. He's now been sent to Northwestern Memorial Hospital. I also talked to a woman, a Chicago native, who was appalled by what she saw. The situation continues to develop at this hour. As we mentioned, we have a reporter on the scene, but there are some security concerns. Fox 32's Nate Rogers is on Michigan Avenue in a protective position. Nate, can you tell us what you see right now?
Yeah, that's right, Dane. As you just mentioned, we're downtown on Michigan and Randolph. I'm actually probably a block away from a lot of where the chaos has originated. Right now, Chicago police are trying to clear Michigan Avenue, at least from Randolph, until maybe three or four blocks south on Michigan. Very active scene indeed. Hundreds of officers working this investigation. There are reports, unconfirmed by Chicago police, of multiple people shot at Michigan and Washington, also Michigan and Wabash. The Chicago Fire Department, we're told, is here along with paramedics and Chicago SWAT teams, all assisting in this investigation. Now, chaos here downtown began or erupted just before 8 p.m. Several hundred young people traveling in groups, kids seen jumping barricades into Millennium Park, also jumping on top of cars. Other reports indicated large groups trying to force their way into the Art Institute. This appears to be one of those teen takeovers that we saw last year publicized widely on social media, attracting thousands into the downtown area as well as to Chicago area beaches. The teens are seen with their cell phones out, Bluetooth music speakers blasting, dancing while recording videos, hoping that they'll go viral. Now, I'm back out here live really just within the last 10 minutes or so ago. Photographer and I, Raphael, we heard at least four gunshots while we were standing at Michigan and Washington. We ran along with another TV news crew just to get to safety. Maybe 5 minutes after that, we heard even more gunshots. And so right now, Chicago police are trying to clear this area. If you can see from where I'm standing right now, gridlock traffic indeed. Chicago police here in great numbers, along with the Chicago Fire Department, paramedics. We understand that SWAT teams are here as well. A lot of folks are being rerouted to nearby public transportation just so they can get home. We also have seen police trying to escort tourists back into their hotels. Chicago police are working right now to get a handle on all of this. We haven't received any updated information on if there have been any victims associated with any of this. That is the latest here in downtown Chicago. Nate Rogers, Fox 32, Chicago.
Nate, just to clarify, I want to ask you quickly, you're standing at the corner of Michigan and Randolph. Is Michigan Avenue shut down right now?
Yes, sir, at least from our vantage point, Dane. But keep in mind, I'm Michigan and Randolph is probably 500 feet from where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit further into, you know, closer back towards the lake, if you will. We really just had to get out of the way because the teens were running, officers were running. From our vantage point, you can't even – I don't even think there's traffic flowing along Michigan Avenue because the cars are stopped right now.
Yeah, it looks from that shot as though at least Michigan Avenue has been shut down. Nate, stay safe. Thank you very much for that report.
Oh, I'm sure they all got together on TikTok and Facebook and decided to pull that shit off. You know, TikTok, let's fuck Chicago, you know? So hundreds of teenagers show up. How the fuck did that get orchestrated? You know what I mean? You know, who was the coordinator of that?
That's crazy world. Chicago. It's a war zone. Anything war zone. War zone won't even look.
My
like
wife
that.
Wants to go there to see Madonna.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, but hey, whatever. I'm checking that life insurance policy, though, before she goes.
Yeah, you know? I haven't paid up.
Yeah, right, man.
I mean, damn. But, I mean, Chicago, I mean, it's just, and that place, that city, has one of the most stringent gun control
laws in the entire nation. You know, like New York and L.A.
That
and all that
you know, something about that gets to me. You know, you have all these gun laws. You can lock all these fucking people up. But there's another fucking full barn today. Every day is a full barn. You know what I'm saying? So you ain't going to stop it. You might as well hang the fuck up. You have a weak fucking police force to start out with. You got a weak cop police force. You have a weak fucking prosecutor. You have a no bail system state. Yep. What do you expect? You know? How difficult is it to come to that fucking conclusion? What do you expect? It's something, ain't it, man?
It's very easy to be a coward, and that's what these people are. You know, there's cowards down in Unitville, in Texas, you know, South Texas down there,
mm-hmm.
in that school shooting. Those suckers, right. those fucking cocksuckers, were nothing but fucking cowards.
Right.
When they stood out there for over 90 minutes, was that an mm-hmm. hour and 20 minutes, okay,
right.
with their thumbs up their asses, while kids were being cut to pieces by lead.
Yeah.
How can you even live with yourself? Those fuckers, I think I would say, go jump off a fucking building. Man, you're sick.
But, you know, I'm a jackboot. I'm a Billy Badass motherfucker. When shit goes down, I'm a pussy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I didn't know that
I mean,
was in the job.
You've seen the picture of these cocksuckers. I posted
right.
it one time, in the Facebook deal. They look mm-hmm. hairy-ass motherfucker Marines. Oh,
yeah,
I'm a bad motherfucker. You nothing but a cunt. It's all you are, boy. Nothing but a fucking drooled up, fucking dried up, fucking cunt.
Yeah.
I got more fucking balls in my left fucking pubic hair than you and your goddamn entire family had.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't sit there. I'd be running in there to try to save those kids.
That's
what
you're supposed to be doing. That's your job.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
that's your job.
Fuck, it's crazy, ain't it, man? It's wild. Nobody gives a fuck anymore, gunslinger. Apparently, nobody cares. It's simple as that, man. I want to play the role, but I don't want
to
play the part.
Then they'll try to arrest you if you go in there and try to save your own fucking kid.
Yeah, right.
Get that.
Yeah.
Get that.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, you better not try to stop me. If I had a kid in there and you trying to stop me, we're gonna have hell.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
You're going to have an active shooter,
wrong?
Motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Shit. Damn right.
And then the guy that went there was off-duty fucking cop or whatever he was. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
I told you. I looked it up there that there was, what did I say, 99 state DPS troopers there. 99. Okay, the state boys.
Mm-hmm.
Not your fucking cops, but the state boys, you know, that are, you've seen DPS. You've been down here in Texas, I'm sure. You've seen the DPS. Oh, they're also just, everything is just so fucking clean on their uniform and their fucking cowboy hat. I mean, they look just perfect. And but there were 99 of them around. Really? What are you doing? Circle jerking each other? Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, and your uniforms still look good. After it was
all, the
uniforms
still look good. And there ain't no cum stains anywhere. And they still look good.
No, not a bit. Fucking crazy, man. Fucking nuts.
What? I've lost all respect for them fuckers, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Fuck them, man.
You know.
It's like I said, man, it's that people don't give a fuck no more. They don't care about their self-centered gun. They're more worried about their own fucking self. They don't give a fuck about nobody else.
And but what is so fucking crazy is these people are supposed to be professionally trained at taxpayers' expense. They're supposed to
be
professional.
They're
not, because they're cowards. They got a degree in cowardice. There you go.
Well, I got that. I know what I'm saying. Yeah, they play the part, but they don't get in the game. That's what I'm saying. They're actors. They just act it out.
Exactly.
They what the fuck, man? Exactly.
They don't want to get
they're
hands
no fucking near professional. You know, it's, you know,
oh,
I'm going to be a cop and be
I'm,
Billy Badass.
I'm afraid I might break
a finger. People to fuck me when I was a kid, I can fuck them back. That's all they are.
Yeah, I'm afraid I might break a fingernail. Oh, kids getting killed? Oh, sorry. I don't want to break a fingernail, you know. Fuck you, motherfuckers. God damn. Sick bastards.
You got it. Well, hey, brother, I'm going to get out of here. It's midnight, so I'm going to jump out of here. The show's got to log off in a second.
Yeah, 59 in the a.m.
Yeah, in the a.m. It's now Sunday. Sunday. Huh? But at least we ain't got to listen to George. So we got to take no
more. Coward George. There you go. Coward George can join them motherfuckers. He just fucking coward just like everybody else is.
He's exactly like him. Exactly. That's right.
Exactly like him.
That's a prime product of that bullshit. Yep. Prime 100% bullshit. Man.
Bullshit.
All right, Brother Gunn. Well, I'm going to skip out here, but I will see you later tonight.
All right. We'll All right later.
That's the way we do it. All right. You have a good night, brother, and I will see you later.
Good night.